Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM. And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in the tune, but the sun is a great spot on the
moon. Oh, hello. Good evening and welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. Firstly, good evening, John.
And good evening to you, Ben. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Indeed, as ever, our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie and the text and WhatsApp number is 087 179 1032. We're also available on the World Wide Web at dublincityfm.ie and also as a podcast. And before we get started, I'd just like to firstly welcome our special guest this evening, Mick McCreary, the current president of the IAS, that's the Irish Astronomical Society. Thank you for coming in, Mick.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for having me.
That's no problem. We'll talk to you just in a moment about Irish Astronomy Week, which is currently under on at the moment, I suppose, and some of the events that you're looking after yourself and the talk, some of the events around the country, especially in Dublin, and other aspects of what's happening in with the IAS, the Irish Astronomical Society. But first, John, with the news of what to see in the sky.
Yeah, lucky enough, now in a couple of days' time, we're going to see the International Space Station in our evening skies yet again, which is great. I love this time. Morning passes are not for me, I don't think. No. 14th until the 29th of March. I'm not sure, actually, when the pass is for the 14th, but we can Google quite quickly.
I don't know myself.
And how big the pass is, but we can certainly do that and get it on. Anyway, nothing really much to see in the skies at the moment. All the planets are a little bit elusive at the moment. Mercury is beginning to emerge sort of very low in the afterglow of sunset, so 30, 35, 40 minutes maybe after sunset. Look a little above your horizon. Now, pick one without any trees. Yeah, because that's a help. And look for the due west, of course. And it's very far below Jupiter and a bit right. You have to pick that out of the sky. And the later in the week, the better your chances. At least Mercury is brighter than usual. It's magnitude 1.0. Now, I haven't seen Mercury. Ben, you have.
I have.
Yes, yeah.
I've managed to see it with the naked eye.
Yep.
And Mick, yeah, you've
seen it? Yes, a couple of times, yeah, but it is a hard object to pick out.
Yep.
Yeah. Venus, it's quite bright, actually, minus 3.8. It picks up very low in the bright dawn, so just above your east-southeast horizon, 30 minutes or maybe even 20 minutes just before sunrise, it's quite difficult to see as well, not too easy to see. Mars is also deep in the sunrise as well. Jupiter, that's the one to look for. Minus 2.2 in Aries at the moment. It's a bright white star. It's up there virtually overhead, lads.
More to the west.
Yeah, more to the west. It's sneaking its way over at the moment, but it's still the one to look for at the moment. And again, minus 2.2 in the Richter scale, as we call it, the star scale, that's it.
The magnitude scale.
The more minuses we have, the brighter it is. That's the way it works. Saturn, unfortunately, out of sight behind the glare of the sun at the moment. Uranus, magnitude 5.7. It's 5 degrees above Jupiter right after dark. So you will get a chance to see that if you have a good pair of...
You need very clear skies.
You do. Very, very clear. Very clear. And a good telescope or a really good pair of binoculars. And Neptune, unfortunately, is hidden in the conjunction with the sun at the moment, so not really up there as well. So the only one really that interests us at the moment is Jupiter. And it disappears, I think, is it just after midnight?
Yeah.
Round about that. I've been watching it over the last while, if we've had a clear night. It's lovely weather we get here. And if you do that. But there have been a couple of evenings last week where it was crystal clear and you could see it very well. So that's about it for the evening stuff, Ben. Again, not to forget the International Space Station, 2 days' time. Evening passes, March the 14th is when it starts. And it's until March the 29th. You get a good half a month or so, which is two and a half weeks or thereabouts, to see the space station.
Thank you, John. Of course, we also have the moon and the sun. And the moon, if it's... I'm not sure whether it's clear outside.
It is. It's out there. There's a crescent out there.
We have a 9% waxing crescent at the moment. But the sun, or the moon rather, will set this evening, just about 10 minutes to 10 in Dublin time, and rising again tomorrow just about 8:15. At that stage, it'll be up to a 12.5% phase. And when it's due south of us, passing the meridian at its highest, that's at 3:20 tomorrow afternoon, it'll be up to 15%. And when it sets at 11:23 p.m. tomorrow evening, we'll have an 18% phase as we head towards the first quarter moon on Sunday, the 17th, that's St. Patrick's Day. And to be precise, that's at 4 a.m., I believe it is. Meanwhile, the sun rises in Dublin tomorrow at 6:43 a.m., which is 17 minutes earlier than a week ago, and local noon is at 12:34 p.m. The sun will set at 6:26 p.m., which is 13 minutes later than a week ago, and from then until 7:01, we have civil twilight. And from then until 8:20, we have nautical twilight. And then from 8... Oh, then we have astronomical twilight until 8:23 p.m. when officially nighttime begins. So we've almost 30 minutes more daylight tomorrow than we had a week ago. Another 4 minutes and 14 seconds between sunrise and sunset tomorrow, when the time between them will be 11 hours and 43 minutes. Just some pointers to that planet we were talking about earlier, Jupiter. Tomorrow evening it will be just 4 degrees to the left of the moon, and on Thursday the 14th in the evening, the moon will lie 2.5 degrees actually from the Pleiades. That's a little pointer for the Pleiades star cluster for you. And on Sunday, the 70th, St. Patrick's Day, again, we have equinox date for Dublin. And there's 11 hours, 59 minutes, 55 seconds between sunrise and sunset times. I'm indebted to John Flannery for those
that's
times.
That's correct, yeah.
And equinox, not quite to be confused, I suppose, with the equinox. No. The equinox is the day, is always a few days before the equinox. It's by virtue of the fact that the sun is a disc, and when the sun rises, defined as when the first limb of the sun appears over the horizon, right. And sunset is when the last limb disappears below the western horizon. But the actual time of sunrise and sunset will be, it's a little bit more. We'll have a little bit more than 12 hours daylight on the day of the equinox. Mm. Now, as I say, our special guest this evening is Mick McCreary, from the current president of the Irish Astronomical Society. He's on his way to the International
Astronomical Society. Thanks very much, Ben.
So, Mick, tell us a bit about. We know it's, as we've been publicising, myself and John here over the past couple of weeks, about Irish Astronomy Week, which is this week. I know you've given some talks, but tell us a little bit about what's coming up this week for yourself, and indeed for any of the other organisations, in particular the IAS.
Well, roughly there's over 100 events being organised by a chap by the name of Roman Newman.
Which we had him on the phone last week.
Yes. Oh yeah, and as I say, he's organised this. Which this is the second year that he's organised, and there's over 100 events out there, and they're happening mostly in the libraries. And with the Irish weather, there is outdoor events, but most of them have been cancelled, unfortunately, or changed around. But all the indoor events seem to be going ahead very, very well, and most of them are talks about different things. I've done 2 talks so far in the library. My talk is about the birth of the solar system. Basically, it's one for young children, that, but I do update it, upgrade it a little bit for adults if I'm doing it at night in some of the libraries. Well, hopefully, it's been well received so far. There's a talk going on tonight. John Flannery is actually giving a talk down in Nina, and he's on the far side of the galaxy, and I think his talk is called Adventures Across the Universe. So that would be a very good one to get in if you're down in that neck of the woods, or if anybody.
When's your next gig?
My one is on Thursday morning. I'm doing it out in Castle Tynham for 2 school classes at 10:30 in the morning, but the public are quite welcome to come to that as well. Okay. There's actually a very good one going on.
Is that in the library in Castle Tynham?
It is. As I said, most of our talks are in the library themselves. Tom O'Donoghue, who is part of our imaging group inside the IIS, he's given a talk tonight in Malahide Library, doing about getting into astrophotography. And Marty McCormack, another member of the astrophotography group inside the IIS, but he is also a member of the Irish Astrophotography Club of Ireland as well, if you've heard of them, Ben, I'm sure, as well. Absolutely some fantastic images coming out of deep sky objects going to there. And Marty has, at the moment, in conjunction with the IAS and the OPW, he has an exhibition in Phoenix Park. At the moment, running in the little back room of the Phoenix Park.
That's the Interpretive Centre?
In the Interpretive Centre. There's a small section in at the back that he has. He has, I think he has about 7 or 8 images up there. Well, he gave a talk on Saturday afternoon, but the weather and the traffic in around the Blanchardstown was very, very bad. We kind of broke it up, and it was just a little chat get to who, but it was well received. And Marty has actually given us a talk on the 25th of March in UCD, one of our monthly talks that we do over there about astrophotography as well. And then John Flannery again will be there that night talking about the upcoming eclipse. So that hopefully that we're all talking about.
And we are. We covered it. It's only a mere 3 weeks away now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I think it's roughly about 3 to 4 weeks away. But there's an awful lot of the society members going to that, and they're all going to different sections over that. And one of our members, Donica O'Driscoll, you know him from UCD, he's doing a talk, I think it's down in Waterford or Wexford, tonight, this evening, or today. And he hopes to put together a little video and get it from everybody that's over in the States watching this eclipse and put it together and do a little talk out in UCD after the eclipse, which should be good.
Okay, well, okay. I'm planning on being in a town in Texas on the Monday the 8th of April, and I believe you're going to the States too. Where are you planning to
be? I'm actually going to Canada first, and then I'm going to drive into a place called Buffalo in New York up there. And that's in the centre line of the eclipse going across. So hopefully the weather will be good.
Hopefully we'll get clear skies.
Yeah, but I think the best thing is to travel early so that you can move around if there is going to be cloud. Because the last time, as I said to you just before we started there, I could have gone to Carbondale for the last one over there, and it was clouded out, but lucky enough, I ended up in Metropolis, and I got to see everything. So I really recommend it.
Mm-hmm. That was the 2017. I was in Herman, Missouri.
You weren't too far from me.
Okay. John is staying here, I think, are you?
Are you sure? I am. I'm going to watch from here.
We won't see it from Dublin itself, John. You'll have to go to Galway or somewhere over on the west coast, and you will get a partial eclipse. The actual, he wrote it down just...
About 5 minutes to 8 in the evening.
5 minutes to 8 in the evening, but the sun sets at 2013.
Right.
So...
I better scribble that down. I have that, actually.
I was saying to somebody to go to Crowpatrick, the mountain up there now, the top of that, and start praying if you want to see it.
You'll need to.
Might be a good option.
Yeah, if we had a mountain that was above cloud level, we'd be absolutely spot on.
So about 20 minutes before sunset here, at 5 minutes to 8, as the sun is about to go down, you'll see the moon just a bit, taking a bit of a bite out of the bottom right corner of the sun. You'll have to go west
so pray. That's only 3 weeks away now at this stage, so the utilers are going to two different spots altogether. Who else, Mick, is going that you know of?
Well, John,
where are they heading for?
John Flannery, I think he's down your neck of the woods, so he's down Arizona, that end of the woods. He's going somewhere around there, and then Dunica is going somewhere. They're all just going. It's kind of the line across, going that way up along there. So we should get it. So at least one of us should get it.
Hopefully, yes.
Out of the video,
we'll all get it. But I know some of the members are real eclipse chasers. But
some of them are 21. This is their 21st eclipse and things like that. And I must mention Liam Smith. There, who died recently, one of our long-time members, he would have been way up there in the numbers. And if Aubrey Glazer as well, he's a good number under his belt as well. But it can be an expensive hobby, but they seem to have no problem.
I think Aubrey went, did he go to South America a few years ago?
He did indeed.
A good place to get to.
And then
Borneo or something a few years before that. Somewhere up in Malaysia, over that way anyway, yeah.
And then you've got Terry Mosley from our friends up in the north of the IAA. He's a great one for chasing around. But he's doing a cruise. He's actually going to the Caribbean and doing a cruise across that, combining a holiday to an eclipse. But I think that's just an excuse. Terry does this all the time.
I would imagine.
Yeah. We must get him back. Actually, we had Terry here, well, on the phone a few years ago, back in the old studio in Eastwell.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But anyway, that says maybe. So tell us about other events that maybe not necessarily associated with Irish Astronomy Week coming up, especially
publicly.
Well,
I'll just tell you a little bit about the society itself, if you don't mind, just to give it our plug, because we're not great at advertisement. We were hoping to get Ben there into our, but then he disappeared off the radar. I don't know why. I don't think the money was good enough. But unfortunately, as I say, the IAS, we're one of the, there's 15, clubs, astronomy clubs operating under the Irish Federation of Astronomical Societies, and we're basically one of the only ones that do not charge anything to the public for our events, our outreach events that we do have. We have public talks, outreach events, outdoor events, which would be down in Sandymount and Clontarf. It's usually the last Friday and Saturday of the month, but everything, as I say, is weather permitting. We've only had one this year so far, and that was in Sandymount. So we hopefully get to the north side soon. We do astrophoto exhibitions. The big one that we did was Images of Starlight, again in about 2016, 2017. We had over 10,000 members of the public came to that, and that actually toured. We brought that all around Ireland. We brought it down to Cork. We brought it to Kerry. We brought it to Mayo. No, we haven't. We're still due to go to Mayo, but we brought it up the north to Belfast as well, and things like that.
That's the one that starts in the Botanical Gardens.
That's exactly it. And we actually, we're back in the Botanical Gardens on June the 20th for the summer solace. We normally would have done that before in Dunsink, but something happened last year. Dunsink was booked out, and we got into the Botanic Gardens, and it went very well. We'd over nearly 200 people at that. Lucky enough, we will have solar telescopes. We won't just have the ordinary telescopes. We have solar telescopes to go along with that. What else was I going to say? Again, as I said, Marty will be giving his talk on the 25th of March in UCD about that.
And where can we get more information on that?
You'll get everything on our webpage, or you'll get it on our Facebook page, Irish Astronomical Society at gmail.com. It's irishastrosoc@gmail.com. You'll get it on that, or you'll get it on a Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a text in for our good friend down in County Kildare. He says, whatever they're paying you, I'll have it. And he says, a great guest, Ben. So,
thank you very much.
It's nice to have people in studio rather than just on the
phone. Tell them the money is in the post.
Well, have it's probably good. Yeah, so there we go. Anyway, that's what else is, we just think, whereabouts are, I suppose, the ones close to us here? Any of the exhibitions and talks and things? What libraries are we all going for? Is it outside?
Well, tomorrow night I'm actually going to, it's not a member of the IIS, it's a chap out there in Dave Greehan. Have you heard of him? He has his own studio out there in Raheny.
And
he has discovered actually some supernovas as well in the past.
And some asteroids.
That's right, he has two asteroids, I think, named after him there as well. So he's giving a talk in Raheny Library at 6:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, Dave is good at things like that. He's a little bit shy and things, but once you get onto the astronomy world, he's away.
Yeah.
He's just away.
Yeah. You usually find that with us. You know, we'll talk about everything. I've a passion for Liverpool as well, so I'm lucky enough.
There's another fellow beside you there.
I'm not stuck. But some of the lads, once you get them talking, that you know, they just don't shut up. It's like, as I say, one of the best things that we can do is the sidewalk events. I really love those, especially if people bring kids along. You get them to look through a telescope, a decent telescope. There's an awful lot of, when people ask me what kind of telescope they want to buy, even when I do the classes or I do the talks or something like this, I recommend that they don't get a telescope. They come to some of these events that we run and see what's actually there, because you can buy a telescope that's cheaply. And if a child looks through that, he can't see anything. Mm. And if it's too small, the image goes away too quick. He can't find it, and he can't find it again. And he'll lose interest. So you're better off buying something decent that is coming along there. And you, at the moment now, there's an awful lot of good telescopes on sale secondhand. And that basically why that is, people have got them for Christmas presents. They've been sitting in the corner because of the rain and everything like that. And then they bring them out and they don't know how to... Like, it's not that easy to... If somebody gave you an equatorial mount, it's not that easy. You're not going to take it to the back garden, set up in 5 minutes and the clouds come in. Or you could take an hour to set up. The clouds come in and everything's... So your time is... So you get fed up. So around this time of year, you'll find on eBay or something like that, you'll see telescopes coming up for sale. And these are because people are fed up. They can't use it.
And isn't it great? Yeah. The other thing, a good pair of binoculars is
the best man. The best
really
man of the lot.
If you want to stay a little bit closer, although you will get to see the Orion's nebula and all that sort of stuff. But if you're looking at planets, especially moons and Jupiter and rings and all that sort of stuff, a good pair of binoculars is great.
A decent sized telescope, you know, a 3-inch refractor or a 6-inch reflector for starters. That's it. And we were talking about this the other night. People were saying how telescopes have moved on in the last 20 years and so all this. And when they brought out the go-to, the old-timers were saying, oh, don't buy them, you know, you'll never learn the sky or something like this. And I basically, when I started in astronomy, and then I left it for years, I went in car riding, and I left it for years. But when I came back into it, I said, I'll go and I'll get a good go-to. Because I did have that Mickey Mouse. I did have the your man on that used to sell down there at the Halfpenny Bridge.
Hector Gray.
I had one of his telescopes.
We're showing our vintage now.
Yeah.
Hector Gray.
But I had one. And actually, the best image that I've ever seen of Saturn to this day, but up to a few years ago, would have been through that Hector Gray. But I don't know whether the telescope was so bad that it distorted the colours that Saturn looked so good. Right. But that was and then the rings would have been open at that time as well. Mm. But as I say, don't buy a telescope. A good pair of binoculars, or even just go out in naked eye, with your naked eye, and just look at the sky and find things. And what Ben said earlier on about the Pleiades, absolutely brilliant true binoculars. Not great to a telescope, because your field of view isn't great, unless the telescope is big enough.
Yeah, that's true. And if you're looking for comets as well, because of the field of view in binoculars is much wider. If you look at a comet through a telescope, it's not really that good. And
there is one up there at the moment. It's not as good now as NEOWISE there a few years ago, which I think was the best one that I have seen in the last few years. You know, that was fantastic. I myself and John Fanry spent many a night out in Balbriggan looking at that. But there is one up there at the moment, 12P Pons Brooks is the name of the comet itself. And it's not far from the Andromeda Galaxy. If you can find the Andromeda Galaxy, you're quite close to it. With a good pair of binoculars, a little searching up around the Andromeda Galaxy, you'll see a green little snot up there with a tail.
Yeah. one question we were talking about, or one thing we were talking about just before we came on air, is the interest that kids have in astronomy now.
Yeah.
And you're aiming a lot of your talks at...
kids.
And then you suddenly find out that after everything's finished, the mums and dads come in and do their little bit. But I found it for the first time really when I went to see Brian Cox down not too far from here. And the questions that the kids were coming up with, multiverses and all sorts of things.
I've seen Brian Cox and I've seen him twice. And I thought the second one, he was trying to get a little bit ahead of himself. He had gone a little bit into quantum physics and things like that. I was a bit disappointed with the second time, but the first time, I thought it was very good. But I'm telling you, John, that in Ireland alone, if you come to some of the talks that are going on, not basically these talks that are going on because they're aimed through kids at libraries and things, but if you come to some of our talks in UCD or something like that, the likes of Kevin Nolan, will blow you away to Brian Cox. And the enthusiasm that he comes across with and everything. And there is a couple of people like that out there that are absolutely brilliant at giving talks. And we had a talk not so long ago with Nicola Fletcher there. And basically, it wasn't really an astronomy talk. It was about a trip around the astronomy sites in Arizona and how she met the native and Indians and things like that. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. And another talk that was given by Ronan Newman to the IAS many years ago was about clouds And we all joke about clouds in this, but it was a very interesting talk. I really appreciate that talk.
Yeah, anyway, so cloudy and drizzly in Kildare. Come on, the pool. Evidently, he's a Liverpool fan. and they started seemingly with Fisher-Price binos. That's where it started.
Yeah, then, okay. So. As long as we haven't any Man City supporters out there, I'm safe enough.
Right. Move on. Perhaps, yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, as usual, we have tons and tons and tons of stuff.
We do have tons of stuff, but we might have to...
We're rapidly running out of time.
We've only about 3 minutes left.
If even that, yeah. I just see SpaceX have sent another 46 Starlink satellites into orbit again. Where are they putting all these?
The amount of people that ring us up, what's this in the sky? You know, this is that they're all across there and everything like this. And you tell them and they say, oh, no, it's not. It's UFOs. It's not that.
They have to have interest somewhere.
One thing about doing the talks with the kids. The kids actually don't ask me about UFOs that much, but it's the parents, as you were saying, would come up and they say, I saw this on Instagram, or I saw this on one of these web pages or social media sites and everything about NASA pilot seeing things in the sky. I've seen one of those videos of NASA pilot, and basically what it was a balloon. It was one of the weather balloons going. And why they were saying it was going so fast, because he was doing 1,000 kilometres in that direction, and the balloon was doing 600 kilometres in that direction. And that's it. It's just, I don't believe there's anything out there.
No, there can't be. No. They're too far away. That's the problem.
I wanted to ask you about the flat earth. I heard a comment last night.
I have a beautiful, I'll get it and I'll send it to you, of a photograph of a flat earth eclipse. I think is very, very good.
Yeah. Anyway, the comment I heard about last night was actually from Michael Graham, who said, I don't know, but it was his joke, but it was serious in as far as he said that the Flat Earth Society now say they have many members all over the globe. Okay. Mick, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you. I hope we can get you in again, but that's all the time we have this evening. Our email address again for any questions, comments you may have. We'd love to hear from you. It's astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to John too for driving the sound desk this evening, and to James Sweeney and Conor Lennon for putting the show available on astronomy.ie, and for the people here who put it up as a podcast. But that's all from me, Ben Evans, for this edition of the Astronomy Show. And now it's music all the way until 2 a.m. here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Because up next we have Bren Liner with Threads, and from 10 p.m. till midnight, Nigel Woods' World Music Mix called Ear to the Globe, and from midnight till 2 a.m. it's Dave Barry's mix of jazz, blues and soul with After Hours. But please join myself and John at the same time next week when we'll be back with the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thank you for listening, and say goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.